Name. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 28 with the angel's announcement. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." This ends a reading of God's word, and may he bless the hearing of it, so that we would be doers of his word. Well, we're not in a custom to canceling services for really any reason, and so I would remind you that if the snow becomes a real issue, and we do have to cancel because of the safety of entering the building, just go to the website, and I will record the message that morning, and you'll be able to worship God anyway. If it's a Lord's Day on which we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we just won't be able to do it that Sunday. We'll postpone it to the week after that, when we can gather together to receive the Lord's Supper as a family. But just remember that on you can always check the website for inclement weather and whether or not we're gathering together as a church family. It's also not our custom, or rather it is our custom also to have four Sundays of the year when we dedicate it to Advent. We celebrate the first coming of Christ. That's what Advent means, a coming. And normally, we don't have a service on Christmas morning like some other traditions will have. But we do have the four Sundays of Advent. But this year, since Christmas falls on Sunday, we actually get to have five Sundays of Advent. And being that, I decided that we would use as an outline to my Advent series, we'd use the five great pillars of the Protestant Reformation, the five solas. Last week, we focused on the first sola, Scripture alone. And we saw how Joseph trusted in the Word of God as the authority for his life and faith. In fact, we saw his initial response to Mary when he found out that she was pregnant before they were married. He decided to honorably divorce her. But then he heard the Word of God. The Word of God came through the angelic messenger. And because Joseph knew the Word of God, when he heard that this was happening as a fulfillment of Scripture, Joseph did exactly what he was told to do. His trust in God's Word enabled him to obey God and do what would have been culturally unacceptable. He took Mary to become his wife. I wonder sometimes if Joseph and Mary ever had any doubts or even regrets. There must have been difficult conversations within the families. Would his friends ever respect him again? Did Mary's friends whisper when she walked by with Jesus on her hip? I'm sure, at least it wouldn't be surprising if they were tempted to doubt God, or maybe even at least wish that their circumstances were different. And though it's certainly not the same by any degree, some of us probably wish we could change our circumstances because we don't like what's going on in our own lives. Some of you are filled with, or you're facing disappointments. Some of you are dealing with crises in relationships. A couple of you have faced devastating health news. My guess is that some of you have no idea how you're going to afford the Christmas season, the way that inflation has continued to crush us. A couple of you probably wonder if your prodigal child will ever welcome you back into their home. Maybe some just feel sad and you don't know why. Oftentimes, the circumstances of this season bring us to such discouragement. And we're tempted to want to change our circumstances. Lord, change it. Do anything. Change it. Well, if that's how you're feeling today, you need to see how Mary dealt with her circumstances. You need to see how this girl responded to difficulties, and more importantly, what gave her the strength and resolve to respond in the way that she does. Sometimes we Protestants are afraid to talk about Mary because we don't want to sound like Roman Catholics. However, we can also go far too far the other way and ignore Mary, or even make the mistake of thinking that Mary was just an innocent gal. We need to see from this passage that in many ways, Mary was just a normal teenage girl who was stunned by Gabriel and his message from God. Shockingly, Gabriel says that Mary found favor with God. That's the first thing I want us to see this morning, that Mary found favor with God. Look at verse 28. Gabriel says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And then again in verse 30, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Have you ever stopped to think about that? Mary found favor with God. Did Mary become the mother of Jesus because she was godly enough to get God's attention? The word favor is a fascinating word that needs explanation. Mary was called the favored one, or other translations say, "You who are highly favored." Our understanding of the word favor will determine whether we're Roman Catholic or Protestant in our view of Mary. The word favor is the focus, really, of this entire sermon. And yes, I took one word and have written a sermon on this because I think it's so important. It really struck me this past week as I was thinking about Mary's faith. And that one little word, favor. How in the world does she find favor with God? And what does that even mean? I hope when we leave today, we'll be able to see the glory of God in the incarnation and the grace of God towards sinners like Mary and us. Throughout the entire Bible, from the first book to the last, we see that there is no one who is perfect except Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to Romans 3, which is a quote from the Psalms, none is righteous, or no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All together have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now, I hate to break the news to you, but Mary was not a sinless saint. She was a human being, a typical human being, and therefore unable to save herself. We can see from these verses that Mary, like all people, needed her son to be her savior. Yes, a unique person, no doubt. But like the rest of humanity, she needed her son to be her savior. And so the question is, how could Mary have found favor with God? When the Bible clearly teaches that there is no one who does good, no one who is righteous. The answer is in the little word favor. Favor does not mean that Mary did enough good works to get God's attention, that she earned God's kindness. No, it comes from the same word that we translate as grace. They have the same root word. The favor that Mary found was his unmerited kindness. Mary was chosen by God to receive his grace, to be the recipient of his kindness. Mary found the grace and kindness of God. In other words, she was blessed by God, highly blessed by God. Another pastor described Mary like this. He said, "Mary certainly never expected to see an angel and receive special favors from heaven. There was nothing unique about her that such things should happen. If she had been different from other Jewish girls, as some theologians claim she was, then she might have said, 'Well, it's about time. I've been expecting you.' No, all of this was a surprise to her. Although she was a godly woman, it was God's grace, not Mary's character, that made her God's choice. Mary is blessed among women, but not above women." I love that last line going back to what Elizabeth says about Mary when Mary goes to visit her. She is blessed among women, She's not blessed above women. She received God's favor because God decided to grant her grace. It was God's decision to send Gabriel to Mary. It was an act of God's grace, not Mary's good works. God called Mary, and Gabriel said that the reason that she is blessed was that God was with her. She could receive God's kindness because God declared her to be his child. To be his child through the future work of her son. She believed God. She believed God. And God credited to her his righteousness. The question that we have to ask is, have we found favor with God? Have we received God's grace? And maybe even a better question is, how can we? How can we know that God loves us and will forever keep us as his child until the day he welcomes us into his heaven? How can we know that we belong to him and have his favor upon us? Well, that's the second half of the sermon. You may also be declared right with God. Through Mary, we have the example of a person who received God's favor. But how can we be confident we too can receive it? Well, I made a reference to Romans 3 a minute ago. Let's turn there and see what God says through the Apostle Paul. Romans 3, this time skipping down to verse 21. Romans 3, 21, Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." In other words, God's righteousness, his requirement for being allowed into his presence, was made known through the law and the prophets. The people of the Old Testament looked by faith to what God was going to provide in the Messiah. They were saved by faith. Now you go to Hebrews 11 and you see this over and over. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abraham did that. By faith, Moses did this. By faith, by faith, by faith. They were looking forward to the promised Messiah as God had revealed. God made known his righteousness through the law and the prophets, but now he has made it known apart from the law. In other words, man has never been able to be saved by the law, by keeping the law, by being good enough. We've never been able to be saved by that means because we're never good enough. But look at what he says about receiving his righteousness in verse 22. He says, "Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." God allows sinful man to be made righteous through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, a common problem for most of us is that we make the mistake of thinking that we're somehow different than anyone else in all of history. We're not as bad as those people were back then. But look at what he says in the next verse, verse 22. "For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God says that he has made his righteousness known. He has provided it. And yet, all men are sinners, cannot attain to his righteousness. We all fall short. So where's the hope for Mary? Where's the hope for us? How can Mary receive God's grace and blessing? And even more importantly, how can sinners be made righteous? Well, the answer again is in verse 22, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." And then connect that with verse 24, where he says that sinners are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That's a mouthful. all sinners, all people are sinners. Mary and you and me included. None of us escape that. And we all know that. We always point at someone else and say we're not as bad as them. But in our hearts, we know that we're also guilty. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. But God provided his Son as a sacrifice to satisfy his justice and to turn his wrath away from his children. That, in essence, is propitiation. His Son became the sacrifice to satisfy his justice, and that turned his wrath away from us, and it put it on him. See, according to verse 24, the source of our justification is God's grace. That's the first bullet there. The source of our justification is God's grace. We are justified by his grace, Paul says, as a gift. Justification means that God has declared you to be righteous. It's not that you earn it. Mary didn't earn it. It was declared by God. You are righteous in my sight. How? What's the source? Where's that come from? His grace. It's not our good works. God did not span the globe looking throughout the earth, looking for someone that was good enough to be the mother of his son. He called Mary. He declared Mary to be righteous, and he blessed her. She received the blessing of being the mother of our Lord simply because of God's grace. The source of our justification is God's grace. The basis or the grounds of our justification, the reason that God can declare us to be righteous, is not found in us. The only reason that we can be declared righteous before God is the work of Christ. And that's what verse 24 and 25 says in Romans 3. Our justification is through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation. Good works follow justification. They don't earn it. Mary wasn't justified, declared righteous because of good works. Her good works followed that. The source of our justification is God's grace. The basis or grounds of our justification is the work of Christ. So how do we receive God's favor? How can we be declared right with God? Well, the answer is right in the middle of verse 25. The means of our justification is faith. God put Jesus forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Now that sounds like something that we have to do, that we need to have enough faith so that we can be made right with God. However, the Bible makes it also abundantly clear that faith as well is a gift from God. In Ephesians 2, Paul makes it abundantly clear. He says in verse 8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Mary could not go around boasting about how good she was. She knew she had been blessed by God, that she received his grace. Now, go back to Luke 1, and this time go farther down in the passage than what we read, down to where she met with Elizabeth, her relative. And if you remember the story, Elizabeth is the one that was John the Baptist's mother. And she was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist when Mary got that angelic announcement. Mary went to go see Elizabeth, to go see this miraculous conception. And listen to what Mary says about this experience to Elizabeth. Look at verse 46 especially. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary gives all the credit to God her Savior. She doesn't boast about what she has done. She recognizes she was blessed by God. She was the recipient of his abundant kindness. "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." And then in verse 50, she says something that should remove all doubt about what Mary deserves. Mary didn't earn God's kindness. She says in verse 50, His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mary knew that she did not deserve the kindness of God, but she trusted in Him. And she gave Him the glory for the work He was doing in her. She had received His mercy. There's an old illustration that I think sums up faith. We're justified by faith. But faith in our day, I think, is a word that is oftentimes confused with many other things. On my key ring, I have many keys. I have a few fobs that will open different doors. This one opens the front of the church. Another one opens two other places as well. This is the only one, though, that will open the front door of the church. It doesn't matter if I try to use one of the other ones and think, well, but I really want this one to work. It's not going to work. There's only one on this ring that will open the front door. It doesn't matter how sincerely I try with all the other options on this key ring. It doesn't matter I push the buttons on my car fob. They're not going to open the front door of the church. There's only one way to use the right key. Well, the Bible teaches there is only one way to the Heavenly Father. There's only one way a person can have eternal life, and that is by being made right with God. There's only one way to be made right with God, and that is to have your sins forgiven. The only way your sins can be forgiven is if the justice of God is satisfied. The only way that God's justice can be satisfied is through death. And the only death that can satisfy God's justice for others is the death of Jesus Christ. And the only way that Jesus' death can be applied to you is by faith. And the only way to have faith is to receive it as a gift from God. Mary found favor with God. She received God's grace. Oh, may all of us recognize that our salvation is not something that we earn. It's a gift from God, based upon the perfect work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and is received by faith, which is a gift from God. Let's pray, and as we pray, I invite the officers to come forward for communion. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of Mary, a godly young lady who trusted in Your word that You declared to be right with You. She trusted in You, and You blessed her by allowing her to become the mother of Your Son. But Father, we thank You that Mary doesn't boast about her own good works, but as a godly person ought to do, she praises You. She gives You all the credit, that You are magnified, that You are praised for the work that You did. Oh, Father, may we also have such faith that we would recognize Your blessings and rejoice in Your goodness and Your kindness toward us. Oh, may we recognize that our salvation is a gift from the gracious, perfect, holy God. And we pray this through our Savior's name, amen.